Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at the other. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, as we study your scriptures, we ask you to open them to us, that we may see you more clearly, better defined, that we may truly understand you better, and that understanding of you may make us more like your image. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for always watching over us, caring for us, and providing for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I kind of have to backtrack things a bit. We had been doing a series, or had started a series, on the kingdom foundations. And what we did last time, basically, was just the background work of understanding the Gospels. We often refer to it, but I wanted to just take time so that you understand which there's only one Gospel, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, but each one has a little bit different light on it, and some of that depends on the personality of who was writing, the purpose, their calling, their emphasis, their direction. And so we had looked at, and I'll just do this very briefly, Matthew, we see him, Jesus, as the Messiah. In Mark, he is the suffering servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. And in John, he is the Son of God. Now, because that's the way it is, we know that kingdom, I'll just quickly get to the thing of kingdom. Kingdom is about here on earth, setting up a kingdom on the earth. He's a king of the kingdom. Therefore, as John, showing him as the Son of God, the word kingdom only appears three times. Two of them is kingdom of God. Now, Luke and Mark, they are in some ways similar. Luke shows him as the Son of Man. The emphasis on his humanity, on his touching of others, and, you know, that the gospel would go to all, and it is, the word kingdom appears 35 times. 32 of those talks about the kingdom of God. Not once does it talk about the kingdom of heaven. Mark is relatively the same. It appears 16 times, 15 of those is kingdom of God. Not once, kingdom of heaven. Matthew, on the other hand, which has that, the fulfillment of his messianic role, The word kingdom, which obviously we saw a great deal in the Old Testament, appeared 50 times. And 34 of those are kingdom of heaven. 10 are just kingdom. Kingdom of God only shows 6 times. So we know that there's a difference between kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God as it is shared with us, okay? And that's what we'd spent some time looking at. And I wanted to go back and add one more thing because I feel that I don't want to undersell anybody. Mark was the one I said which was written first chronologically. And then the other things that were added, not that they weren't true, but he just didn't include them. You know, somebody can tell you, tell you what happened. Like if you ask somebody to give you the plot of a movie, they both have seen the same movie. They both have the same storyline. One, you know, one may just tell you about the action scenes. One may tell you about the background and the relationships of the people involved in the movie, etc. They both are equally true, but each one has a different emphasis. Okay, it's a little more than that, but you understand. Mark, we talked about genealogies last time and how Matthew comes from Abraham forward, while Luke, showing him as the heir of Abraham, the promise of Abraham. Luke starts with Jesus and works backwards all the way to Adam, who was the Son of God. So that shows, you know, we are not all heirs of Abraham in the flesh. We are in the spirit, but we all are heirs of Adam. Amen. Okay, but I wanted to say one other thing because I don't want it to sound like Mark. Mark did one phenomenal thing, and I was listening to something earlier today, somebody talking about the scriptures. And Mark, you know, Mark doesn't have a genealogy as such, but Mark does something phenomenal. The word, as I was saying, I was listening to somebody today, and I was how the word is the living word. Now, when you go into different denominations, and I find this very interesting to me, neither one is right or wrong, but there's a different emphasis. If you walk into a Catholic church, and I think it's even true of Episcopal churches, can't remember if it's true of Presbyterian churches, but the table at the center is, it has the host, that is the elements of communion. And then the lectern off to the side where from which the scriptures are read and from which the homily is given, the message. And that shows to them the emphasis, the center of it is the atoning work of Jesus, which we definitely believe. Now, Luther, after the Reformation, some things happened, and Luther taught us something that most of the other denominations, if you go into it, the center of it is the pulpit, is a lectern from which the word is read. Now, that gives the idea that the word is the very center. And they're both equally true, but where you put things in your house tells what's important to you. If you put the television smack front and center, then I know television is important. You know, if you put your bookcases there and the TV off to the side, then I know books are important, you know, et cetera. So this tells us the underlying emphasis. They all hold all of the gospel, not a right or wrong. Okay. Now, what I wanted to get to, and that was sort of a long way around the bush to get to it, but was the one thing I told you before, Mark was written first. And we a lot of times don't understand the work of Mark. I had said that Matthew was teaching the Christians who'd been Jewish Christians or Jews who were Christian how to become Christians from a Jewish tradition. And so as they came out from the synagogue and developed their own congregations, they needed that teaching. They needed those things, the parables, the righteousness, the Sermon on the Mount, all of which, you know, would have gotten in the synagogue. But when they came out from that, they needed that. And so and of course, Luke is the part that is the extenuation of that is at the book of Acts. And what that does is it connects the gospel to the broader view of the, including the Gentiles, who are equally fellow heirs of Christ. So, of course, we see Cornelius. Peter goes to Cornelius, and he was having a hard time, you know, preaching to them, and et cetera. And then the Spirit of God showed him, whatever God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. And it didn't make sense till he went to Cornelius' house, and he said, but this man's a Gentile. Yes, but because God has cleansed him, et cetera. Okay, I hope this is not more confusing but clarifying. So that emphasis is on the humanity, Jesus as the Son of Man, how he connects to all of humanity, not just those of the lineage of the tribe of Abraham, okay, or the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, but Mark, I kind of sold it short last time, and I want to tell you this tremendous thing that Mark did. Up until then, of course, these were all people who had heard Jesus, seen Jesus, sat with Jesus, ate with Jesus, been fed by Jesus, been healed by Jesus. So Jesus was the very center of their Christianity, okay? But now Jesus has bodily, you know, the Spirit is still with us, but bodily had ascended to heaven. And so they were like, so what's our center now? And Mark, having recorded this gospel, gave to people far and close that Jesus, he embodied in his words the very essence of Jesus. And the reason I was saying this was there was somebody talking about the word today, and it excited me because the word is as much God. He breathed his word as he breathed into Adam. So this shows Mark made it possible for those of us who never saw Jesus in person, who never heard Jesus in person, to be of the same family, and then so that the church didn't die after the first generation, after the people who knew Jesus, you know, let's say it kind of like this. In the beginning of the United States, there was a revolution. There were patriots who believed in this country, the colonies, as a separate nation. And they all had been a part of that revolution. They'd all been a part of the struggle. And so they all understood that. But they took their values, their beliefs, and their hopes and desires for this country and put it into a constitution so that now those of us who are, you know, none of us knew Thomas Jefferson, none of us knew Washington, but because we have that constitution, it's to embody the values that they wanted to inculcate into this nation. And I'm not equating them, but I want you to understand that Mark took us from just being the church, from just being a bunch of people who've been around Jesus, to those who could still touch Jesus through the scriptures, and that Jesus could touch us through the scriptures. Then, of course, then after that, and it had taken place, Matthew wrote his gospel, or his account of the gospel, Luke wrote his account of the gospel, John wrote his account of the gospel. So we're going to get to kingdom, but I wanted to insert something else today, so you have to forgive me. We're talking about the other, okay? It'll make sense here in a little bit. The emphasis for me this season is on the new year. This is a new year, and we've all been listening to prophecy. We have been praying. We've been listening to God. We've been reading. We've searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We are hungry for that word for the new year. And so I've been thinking about this and how this study on the kingdom will relate for us to understand what the kingdom is. But I wanted to back up because I've been thinking about the context of it is the new year. It's another year. And as I've been praying about that, then what I have seen is there's two kinds of other, if I can say it like that. Every year we celebrate a new year, meaning it's the next year. We just start over. You know, January runs through December, then we start over in January again. And so it is an other of the same kind. It's been an extension. But all of us who have lived through 2020 understand that there's a different kind of new year this year. This year isn't just new, like starting fresh, but new, like different. I had written to a friend of mine who had left one position which she knew God had called her to, but she went to a different position because she knew God was calling her to a new thing, as in a different thing. And so, you know, I've been praying about the new year, and I really do see that that is kind of what's going through our country, of course through the church, but even those who are attuned to the things of the Spirit, even if they are not, anyway. So a new year in this context of today means one of two different things. It means we're starting over again on a new year, but it also means we're starting down a different path. Everybody's saying, oh, we don't know what the new normal will look like. Okay. But what we do understand is things will not be as they were. Whatever this year holds, it will be different. It's a new year. It's a new horizon. It's new challenges. And we know that God has made us able for all of them. And those of us who've been believing in this for a long time, I'll say by the Spirit, saw it coming even when we didn't see it coming. And so we're at peace. But there's a newness, and that means it's different. So I was trying to think how to address this so we can put ourselves in this frame of mind as we go forward with all the rest that we do this year, whether it be prayer, whether it be study, whether it be giving, whether it be witnessing, whatever it is, whatever our life is to be, that we kind of align, you know, readjust. There was somebody who I had heard giving a word that, you know, a man that I highly, highly value. And he said several R's, but one of which is to realign. And that's kind of it. And I was thinking, well, sometimes we have to reboot the computer. It's not just starting again, but things will be different. Okay. That's gone a long way. But we're talking about other. What kind of other year, another year will this be? And so I wanted to share what's a very simple truth. One of the things I want to do this year is give us in Lunch with Lorraine some tools to make you not, how do I want to say this? There was an event in my life one time when I sat on the step and I didn't know what to do. It was kind of internal staircase. And I scooched over like I was making room for Jesus to sit by me. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, how do I process this? How do I look at this thing? And I saw that we all have the thoughts of God. That's what the scriptures are. They're the thoughts of God. But just because you have the thoughts of God doesn't mean you have the thinking of God. For example, the devil after his 40 days in the wilderness, the devil came to him and tempted him. And at first he offered him stuff, but then he used the scriptures. It is written. You know, he said, don't the scriptures say that, you know, if you dash your foot against a stone, I'll lift you up. And Jesus countered him and just said, you know, you're not interpreting the scriptures correctly. You don't have a right to interpret them. The words are the thoughts of God, but there's also the thinking of God, okay? We might see somebody who doesn't know God at all, and we may say oh, that person is, you know, doesn't know the Lord. That's a thought. That's a truth. But the reality, the thinking of God is, how do we bring them to a full knowledge of Christ, or how do we at least offer them that opportunity? And so as we begin this year and we look at other, I want us to see that we don't just need the thoughts of God, which are in the scriptures, but the thinking of God. How do I read these things so they speak to me? As I was saying, just meditating, that the scriptures are the life of God. So I don't want to read a story about Jesus. I want to read in the scriptures and see Jesus and hear Jesus. I don't want to read about when he was here. I want to see him walk in our midst. And that means we need not just the thoughts of God, but we need the thinking of God. So I'm going to try and emphasize some little tips. We spent time in the Gospels last week, and I will get back to completing this series on the kingdom. But I want to talk today about the other. The word other or another is in the scriptures a lot. And again, I'm not saying we have to be great scholars, but there are things that we know. Your Bible is translated in English. Well, if you have a Bible translated in Spanish or Portuguese or French, it's not going to be the exact same words, but it should be the exact same spirit. And so these were originally written in other languages. Obviously, Old Testament was in Hebrew. New Testament, the huge bulk of it was written in Greek. Not all of it, but the huge bulk of it. And so it doesn't hurt us to go back to that. I'm not saying, oh, that you've got to read Greek, or if you don't know it, you don't know. No. But it should give us that deeper understanding. I really shouldn't have to spend all this time saying it, but I just don't want people to think that I think that just reading the scriptures isn't gospel. It is. But if we can dig deeper and get another layer of truth under it, then our eyes open and we say, ah, I see. So we, in the English, there's word other and another. But in the Greek, there are mainly two, although there are three, actually even kind of maybe four, words that mean other. So we're going to look at other and the other. I want to talk first about the two main words that are used are allos and heteros. You don't have to remember that. I just want you to get the idea of what I'm talking about. Allos is other of another, okay? And heteros, well, you may know because you probably figured out from the beginning of it, you know, heteros means other when it's different. For example, a heterosexual has sex with somebody who's different than them, right? Male and female, created he, them. All right, now, there is a couple of mothers that I'm going to just kind of skip to the side very quickly. One of them means the remaining ones, the rest of them, the others as in the rest, the remaining, in honor of Apostle Kizzy, who taught us so well about the 10 virgins out of Matthew 25:11, that word, the others. There were the 10, you know, there were the 5, and then there were the other. And that other is simply the remaining ones, the rest of them, okay? Then there's other, which means one and one. And I'll give you those very quickly so you see it. One is when John talks about them running to the sepulcher, and there was an angel at the head and then another at the feet. It was one and one. Okay, this is also true of the thieves when Jesus was crucified. They had, it says, one on the right and the other on the left, which is really one to the right, one to the left. Okay, this is also true. Remember when that's a pushy mama. She came and asked Jesus if her two sons can sit on one on the right side and the other on the left, which really, again, is one. It's one on the right, one on the left. Those all I've just dispensed with relatively quickly because they're not what we're going to look at for you to get a feel for this, okay? The one is allos, as I said before, which is another of the same kind. It denotes numerical distinction, all right? It means one, another one. One like we've had, and now we have another one, all right? We're going to turn to some kind of quickly so you get that. Let's turn to, where am I at here? I'm already in Mark, so let's just quick back, go to Mark chapter 3. I don't even know what all these are. I just wrote some down so we'll get the idea. 3:5. And when he had looked around about on all of them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said, stretch forth your hand, and his hand was restored whole as the other. He didn't have one human hand and one lobster claw. They were another one, numerically, of the same kind. All right? Make a little sense? Now let's flip-flop even farther back. Let's go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I don't even know what these are. I'm just going to give to you until you get the sense of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved it is, well, it would be good if I read back over the scripture where I want it. Let's start with 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So it's another same kind. His baptism to Stephanas is the same as his baptism to Gaius. They were baptized into the same baptism. They were brought into the same kingdom. They were brought into the same family of God. He baptized this one, and he baptized that one, and he said, I don't know if I baptized any other. The same kind, okay? Let's find maybe another one. Another John, let's go to John, chapter, oops, skipped right over John. John chapter 20, you know, usually I got my out, but I run it just up. John chapter 20, verse, let's try 25, let's see where that takes us. And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, what? Okay. And whosoever sins, he remit, those are remitted, and unto them whoever he retains, they are retained. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. That means allos. He was one just like them. He was another of the same kind, okay? I hope that begins to make sense. I don't want to drag this out too long, but we're in John. Let's skip on down to, we're in even chapter 20, so let's skip on down to verse 30. And with many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. Other of the same kind, okay? He did this miracle, he did that miracle. They were all divine. They were all showing his power, his love, etc. So other. And we'll skip over one more chapter, 21. We're going to just read a couple of quick verses here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And the wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, Canaan, and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Two more like the others, okay? So if I am, say you come over to my house and I have an array of appetizers, and you ate the little brie cups, all right? And you love them. I also had some, I don't know, whatever I could have there, and you little meatballs, okay? And you didn't particularly want those, but you said, can I have an other of, you know, you've been eating the one. Can I have another? You want one of the same kind. You didn't like the one, but you like the other one, so you want another of the same kind. Now, you could be the kind of person that, oh, I had that one. Let me try another, meaning a different appetizer from the buffet, because you just want, oh, that's, you know, that's a little crab meat cake. I want to try another appetizer, not one more like I've been having, but a different kind from the buffet, all right? So for that, that's called heteros, remember? And so we're going to look at that so you get the idea, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory, really, but I don't want anybody to think that I'm, you know, shortchanging you here. We're in Luke. We're going to just kind of pick up a few on the way. Luke chapter 16. I don't even know which ones are which, but Luke chapter 16, verse 13 has two of them in one verse. 16, verse 13, I flipped my page for that one. No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. That makes sense. They're two very different masters. You know, you can either love mammon or you can love God, but you can't serve both. They're two distinctly different kinds, okay? Remember, allos is numerical, but heteros is the generic, it's what kind, genus, which a different kind. Okay, that one, I love that because that one really sets it. Jesus says it's one or the other, got it? We're right there in Luke. Let's skip on over to 23. Don't know which this is. 23, verse 40. Okay. And one of the malefactors, we talked about the crucifixion before, when the two thieves, now this is not the thieves, these are the two malefactors. One of the malefactor, which was hanged, railed on him, said, if you're the Christ, save yourself. Verse 40, but the other, a different kind, he answered saying, you know, rebuked him saying, don't you fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? If we indeed justly are here, then this man's not. So one of them railed on him, and the other, a different kind, said, no, we need to ask this man for mercy. And that man got to be with the Lord in paradise. So that's, you know, so that you see those are two other of different kinds. Let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, because we like Acts chapter 2. Well, there aren't any we don't like, but anyway, we like Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we will go to, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, yay. Acts chapter 2, we're going down, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, in verse 3, and sat on each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, so that all have the same Holy Spirit, right? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This other of a different kind. You and I may both speak in tongues, but my tongue is of a different kind than yours. We even talks about of tongues of men or of angels. Maybe yours is of man and mine's of angels, or maybe it's two different angels, but they are different in they come from the same place, that we both have the same Holy Spirit, but the tongues are different. Okay. We're right in Acts. Let's go on to over to chapter 4, verse 12. I haven't even read it, but I know it'll say that. Verse 11, this is the stone which set at naught for you builders. It became the head of the corner. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other. Other, got it twice. None other. I'm gesturing, took my eyes off it. Under heaven, which given among men, whereby we must be saved. So twice he says, there isn't any other, heteros, There isn't any other, a different kind, one, but a different kind. So, you know, it's, we may say you can have an other, you can read this scripture in French, or you can read this scripture in Italian. It'll be in another tongue, but it's the same Lord that is the same. But if somebody comes along and says, well, but you can do it through Scientology, or you can do it through something else, that's of another kind. And he says twice in there, there is no salvation through any other different kind name. All right. So I know there's lots and lots more, but what I want to do is get this, so you get this concept that there is other and there is other. And then it's not that big a deal to find out which one it is. Okay? It's pretty simple. You don't need to be, you don't even need any kind of degree to do that. But what it does teach us is that there's other and then there's other. There's other the same kind. You may have had 5 years in a row where, well, you keep praising the Lord, looking to God, and things stay the same. But this is another year, not just an additional year, that's number, remember, additional, but of a different kind. So this is in there, allos and heteros. They both in English will look like other or another, but they're very, very different in nature. Well, a lot of times we know it's like, let's take a woman who has 6 kids and 5 of them are girls. And here she goes, this is my daughter Susie and another Helen and another Vicky. That's another of the same kind. And then she gets to number 6 and that's her boy. And she says, and here is another of my children, a different kind, you see? And it makes a difference in how we say these things, because you can't say there isn't another name under which you can't say, oh, well, that's just a different, I mean, that's just an additional name, which is how some people interpret scripture. And we know that that's wrong, but we can't always put our finger on why. So I'm not saying you have to even get all those words. What I want you to understand, not just the thoughts of God, but the thinking of God. God sees other as very, very different. There can be other as another of the same old kind, or other as a different kind. And that's when John sent his disciples to Jesus, and he says, you know, are you the Messiah, or do we look for another? And there's you go there, find out, is he saying, I look for another, like just another one coming down the road? Or does he say, I look for a different kind? Remember when he saw the dove descend on Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He knew that Jesus wasn't just another prophet, wasn't just another rabbi, wasn't just another teacher, but that Jesus was of a different kind. And because of it, our salvation all comes from that other. Isn't that amazing how just one little word like other, and it sets the whole thing in motion. So what I want you to get, it's not like you have to know which one is heteros, which one is allos, and go through and spend all that time. But I want you to see that in the scriptures, the thinking of God is as important as the thoughts of God. And when we look at this year, when you pray that we have another, that we have a different kind of year, that people will come to a different kind of understanding, come to a that we do not just do the same old thing over and over and over again. Let's have another prayer. Let's have another time, you know, before the, no, I want it different. I want it full. I want it alive. I want all those things. So I just wanted to spend a little time today. We went through a lot of scripture, but a lot of explanation, just so that you grasp that concept that there's other and there's the other, okay? And we just kind of know in your own heart, where am I at with that? Is this other or this the other, okay? That there's another of the same kind, and then there's another of a different kind. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, there's another one, the same coming from the same Spirit. Okay, when we talk about manifestation Spirit, it doesn't matter, fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't matter if it's love or if it's faith. It's another of the same kind because it comes from the same place, from the Spirit of God. But when somebody comes into your midst of another spirit, then that's a spirit of a different kind. And I want you just to be aware that this is how God wants us to grow into how we think about things, not just the thoughts, but the thinking of God. And that this year will be another year, but it will be another other. It will be different. It will be unique. It will be groundbreaking. It will be glorious. It will be a healing, saving year that we will see the goodness of God shed abroad in our hearts. And I just hope that for you, that you understand why we want to get to this concept, so that you see that even when we don't realize that God has so much in there for us, God has so much more knowledge and understanding, and these things will affect not just what we think, but how we think, who we are. And that's what I wish above all that this program do for each of us. Teach each of us again the thinking of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word today. I ask you that it finds a place in the heart, a place in the head of each of us who need it. Thank you, Father God, that you open our eyes to see that, you know, the prophets kept thinking they understood the scriptures. But when Jesus came, it said his own received him. They didn't see him for who he was. That the blind could see, but those who were seeing were blind. Father God, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we may see you, that we may see Jesus, that we may see your scriptures in a light that gives us that in-breath breathed word from you, that you breathe into us the life from you. Thank you for all these things. Look forward to being with you all again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com.
www.godinthemidst.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.